Good afternoon. We are glad you're back, and we appreciate so much the opportunity to be back again this afternoon to study from God's Word, to worship Him. To those of you that are visiting, we certainly want you to know how much we appreciate your presence. We encourage you to come back at every opportunity that you have. The passage read a moment ago, Matthew chapter 13, in verse 9. Jesus, of course, in this context, presents a series of parables, and in so doing, seeks to establish divine truth among His disciples. And so in verse 9, Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." It's very important as listeners that we pay careful attention to God's Word. I was thinking earlier about how possibly we hear God's Word. And there are various types of hearers of God's Word. And of course, we could look at the parable that Jesus set forth, the parable of the different types of soil or different types of human hearts. But there are some who, upon listening or hearing the Word of God, are quick to dismiss what the Bible has to say. In other words, there are some today that have the idea that this is just a book among many books on a plane maybe equal to Shakespeare or some other type of literary giant. But this is not just a book. This is the book of all books. It is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And as Paul said, God's Word has been given to us for the purpose of blessing, benefiting us in this life. Again, as Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so whenever we hear God's Word proclaimed, we ought to listen and to do so intently. Jesus talked about taking heed how we hear and what we hear. And this expression, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You can go back and read Revelation chapters 2 and 3 when Jesus summarized the spiritual status of the seven churches of Asia, concluding his summary of each and every congregation by simply saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so there are some who would simply dismiss God's holy word. They're not interested in divine truth. And I would also add to this that there are some, whenever they hear the word of God, rather than saying, "You know what, God is speaking to me," they look to their neighbor or somebody else and say, "You know what, this doesn't apply to my life." Well, the intent of Scripture is that it is to be applied to all of us. We ought to listen carefully because there's always something we can glean from it. And then there are those that sadly despise God's Word. You remember Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 13 at verse 13, "He who despises the word will be destroyed." How do you view the Scriptures? Do you dismiss them? There are some that, sadly, despise the word of the living God. They have no use for it. We live in a day and time, in many respects, society as a whole has abandoned the principles of Scripture. And there are some who despise the sacred contents that are revealed therein. And then thirdly, there are those that would be disobedient to what they hear. You remember Jesus said on one occasion, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Our goal is to live in compliance with God's Word. We understand that the prerequisite to entering the kingdom of heaven is based upon our willingness to submit to His Word. Now, having said that, let me just share with you some principles that I think will help us as hearers of God's Word. And I want us to maybe think about this study in a very practical way. The first thing that I want to call attention to is the delightful hearer. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture. In the first psalm, the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But note, if you would, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The word delight here carries with it the idea of bending toward. So here's the idea of a blessed individual who is bending toward what God has to say through his holy word. And in so doing, he finds genuine delight in the principles of the Scriptures. You remember over in Psalm 119, the psalmist talked about his great appreciation and love for the Scriptures. In that context, he said that he loved God's Word, that it was greater to him than thousands of shekels of silver and gold. How many people do you think today would place greater value on God's Word than earthly wealth, earthly riches? The psalmist was onto something here. He talked about how sweet God's Word to his, how sweet his Word was to his mouth, sweeter than honey. And what a blessing is to eat food that we relish, that we love. And again, the psalmist is simply saying, look, I relish it greater than honey to my mouth. So number one, to delight in God's Word, to understand that God's Word will never lead us astray. And then the byproduct of following this Word. Look at verse 3. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So number one, there is stability in the life of someone who delights in hearing the Word of God. And then not just stability, but according to the psalmist, there is prosperity. He'll prosper in whatever he does. When you see people that are honoring God's Word, you see people that are blessed in life. One of the real problems that we have in our nation, as I said a minute ago, is we have discarded the notion that we need God and that we need His Word. And we could ask the question, how's that working out? Well, not very well. The principles of righteousness upon which a nation is to be founded, embedded in this book that we call the Bible. So number one, we ought to have a delight in hearing the Word of God. So there's the delightful here, but then secondly, there's what I would call the discerning hearer. One of the important things about God's Word is that it can serve as our North Star in life, as that compass or GPS. It's what's going to help us stand where we need to stand and make wise discernments in this life. That being said, turn with me to the book of Hebrews and look at Hebrews chapter 5 for a minute. While you're turning to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, I want to maybe just mention very quickly that Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 18 that we are to grow in grace and knowledge. There is a reason why God wants us to feed upon His Word. There's a reason why God wants us to exercise ourselves in the spiritual realm. Now that being said, look at Hebrews chapter 5. The writer is addressing Christians that should have been maturing in the faith. But rather than maturing in the faith, they had remained in a state of spiritual infancy. And so note, if you would, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, milk is designed to nourish a baby. And Peter had said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as a newborn baby or as a newborn child desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So we have to feed on God's word. As Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But now note verse 13. The writer said, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. If you were going to classify your spiritual maturity or lack thereof today, where would you say you stand? Are you a babe in Christ, a novice, a new convert? Are you someone that is progressing in your knowledge and understanding of God's word? Or are you a quote-unquote mature child of God? Now note, if you would, verse 14. In verse 14, the writer said, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, or those who are mature. That is, those who, by reason of use or practice, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Question. How am I going to know what's right or wrong? Good or evil? Truth or error? If I never avail myself of studying and meditating on this truth. You know, God's word serves as a critic on our life. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews chapter 4. And note, if you would, verse 12. The writer said, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner, or is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now you remember it was said of the Bereans of old that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. There are people today that are in a quest to find out, okay, what is it God wants from my life? There are denominational bodies today that are bantering back and forth about, quote unquote, the woman's role. Does a woman have the right to preach? Can the woman serve as a, quote unquote, priest in the so-called Catholic Church? Look, the Bible has already spoken on subjects like that. Matter of fact, every Christian is a priest of God. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. We offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're all priests of God. There are any number of subjects today. I don't have to turn back and say, okay, what is it God has said about this? Because God has already spoken. You remember the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So God has already spoken. My responsibility is to be submissive to the things that God has said, to acquiesce my will to His will. Again, going back to what Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 7, to be obedient to the Father's will. And so I've got to be able to discern between right and wrong. You know, there was a day and time when most of the young people in our nation had some sense of right and wrong. They had developed what we might call a moral compass. That moral compass was instilled in them by God-fearing, Bible-believing mamas and daddies. But that's not necessarily the case today. And so you've got a lot of kids today, sadly, They haven't been reared in a home where the Bible has been taught. And because of that, there is a lack of knowledge in the spiritual realm. You remember Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." A lack of knowledge will destroy a human being. It will destroy a nation. And there's precedence for that. So to be able to discern, whenever you hear God's word, you ought to always make sure that whatever's being said, that it coincides with this book that we call the Bible. Please do not ever take my word for what I'm saying. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to listen attentively, please. But I want you to make sure that everything that I say is founded upon a "thus saith the Lord." Don't take my word for it. You make sure you do your research, you investigate, and if what I say is true, that is, if it's biblical, by all means honor it. If not, discard it. But that's our goal. That's what we need to do. And there are a lot of folks. I had a call from a fellow in Texas this past week. And he was talking about a commercial that appears on television just about daily. I haven't seen it in a while. But there's a very popular denominational preacher who has a very abbreviated commercial. In his commercial, he tells people to accept the Lord Jesus and then say the sinner's prayer. Well, you know, if we're discerning, we're going to ask the question, okay, where is that in the Bible? Can you read of that? You ever read it? Now look, I've read Matthew all the way through Revelation. I've yet to read one time about the sinner's prayer. But if I'm not discerning, if I don't have the ability to go to the Scriptures, as Paul said, and ask this question, what does the Scripture say? Then I'm going to be in a heap of trouble. The Scriptures tell me what to do to be saved, and they also affirm what I need to continue to do to remain saved. That's why it's so imperative that we listen and listen attentively to what the Lord says. And then there is a third type of hearer. The developmental hearer. That is, we're listening with the intent of developing our lives in harmony with the teaching of the Bible. Now, let me give you a passage along these lines. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. I encourage you, when you leave here today, maybe take these thoughts and go home and think about them over the next few days. Maybe spend some time looking at these Scriptures and then looking at some companion texts to these Scriptures, and seeing how these verses can help you become, help us all become, better hearers of God's Word. So look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is writing to people of like precious faith. He's writing to Christians. In verse 3, he said, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, look if you would at verse 5. Peter said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love." What Peter is saying is that as a child of God, we are on a quest to develop spiritually. We're taking these traits that Peter has identified here, and we are equipping our lives so that we might reflect Christ and so that we might grow and mature in the faith and have that solid foundation upon which to stand. So that being said, look at what Peter said in verse 8. We talk about the first line of defense when it comes to faithfulness to God. It's really being grounded in the truth. And so in verse 8, Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 9. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, in other words, in light of what I just said, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, Peter said, you will never stumble. When we obey the gospel, our goal is to live in such a way so that one day we'll be in the presence of God. Our goal is to be with God in heaven and with God's people. And what Peter is saying is, here is the ammunition that's going to help you live the Christian life. If you will take these traits, make them a part of your daily life. I mean, take, for example, perseverance. Is it not the case that we have to have patience, perseverance, or an enduring spirit? Well, why would that be the case? Look, life's tough. When we sign on the dotted line and become children of God, that doesn't just automatically exempt us from trial and tribulation. So we've got to equip ourselves with an enduring spirit. Individuals that run marathons, they don't just get up one day and say, I'm going to run 26 miles. But rather, that's the goal. And so they begin working out and training and preparing to be able to run that distance. And so to understand that Christianity, it's not just a sprint, but rather it's a marathon. And we're going to have a persevering spirit to get to the end. And then let me give you one other passage very quickly, and then we'll move on. Turn over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, you remember the Apostle Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you want to think of your life, your Christian life, as a garden, per se. And so what you're trying to do is plant the seed of the kingdom in your heart, and then what you want to see is that seed to germinate and ultimately yield fruit. Now, many of you have already planted a garden this year, and you're looking forward to having fresh vegetables. What Paul is saying is we plant the seed in our heart, and then we grow fruit from that little seed that germinates. Look at verse 22, Galatians 5. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, when we looked at those traits in 2 Peter chapter 1 and here in Galatians 5, is it not the case that there are some traits based upon who we are as an individual? That there are some traits that are much more difficult to cultivate in life than others. You know, some people just have a natural inclination to be patient. Well, not everybody's patient. And so there are times in life when we have to learn to be patient. We got to learn to be kind. We got to learn to be loving and so on. Then there is a fourth type of hearer. And this is what I would call the determined hearer. Here's somebody who is intent on trying to the best of his or her ability to live in harmony with God's Word. Now that being said, let's look at James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, James uses the figure of a mirror. And as we stand in front of the mirror of God's Word, the question is, what will we do based upon what we see? How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? I imagine all of us did, didn't we? Did you look in the mirror before you came back this afternoon? For the most part, most of us did. But Brother Bill, I can't help you there. I remember my dad said as he got older in life, he said on one occasion, he said, you know, I've gotten to the point I just don't even look in the mirror anymore. I understand that. But to look into the mirror of God's Word, and I mentioned a moment ago that God's Word has the ability to critique our lives. Now, you know, criticism is not always easy to accept. Is there negative criticism? Yes. Is there positive criticism? Again, the answer is yes. So when we look into that perfect law of liberty, the design is that we would look intently at this law or at what God has said with the purpose of making whatever adjustments are needed in life. And if what we're doing coincides with what the Bible teaches, then stay the course. So now look at what James said, beginning in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been studying, maybe just doing some personal Bible study, and you come across a text or maybe a series of verses, and as you read those verses and as you think about where you are in life, the thought continues to ring over and over again. You know what? I need to make some changes. I need to do better. There are some things that maybe I need to shore up in my life. You ever been there? Or when you listen to the Word of God, I remember one time years ago, I was in an assembly and there was a brother who was preaching and teaching, and I thought, man, he has whipped me all over this auditorium. Now, he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. But God's Word convicted my heart. And so rather than just, you know, in one ear, out the other ear, I thought about when I, you know, I've got to really let this resonate, and I've got to make some changes. I've got to start doing some things differently, thinking differently. That's the design of Scripture. And that's why it's so important for us to be the kind of hearer that is commended by Jesus. As Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, there are people in the world today, sadly, you can make a presentation of the gospel of Christ, and they can hear the truth of God. And there are some who will say, well, that may be what God said, but that's not what I believe. That's not being careful in hearing what he has said. Look, God has given us his word for one reason, to bless our lives. And so if that's the case, then what we want to do is to be all ears when it comes to what God has said. You remember Samuel many, many years ago as a young fella? Samuel said on one occasion, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I want to hear what God has to say. Not only do I want to hear what God says, but I want to do what God says. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus compared the wise and foolish builders. He said that those who hear the word of God and do it are like a wise man who built his house upon the sand, or rather on the rock. And he said, the rains descended, the floods came. And he said, that structure didn't fall. The reason, because it was founded upon the rock. But those who hear his word and do not do it liken them to a foolish man. He said, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. And he said, it fell, and great was the fall thereof. We want to build the kind of life that is built upon God's holy word. We want to make sure that this word is our guiding light as we live here, so that one day we'll be together in heaven. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, there were a lot of folks that saw Jesus, they heard Jesus in the first century, but sadly, rather than being careful hearers, they dismissed what he had to say. Some didn't like it at all. They despised what he had to say. Well, what we want to do is hear what he says and then obey his will so that we might enjoy all spiritual blessings in Christ. Paul said every spiritual blessing resides in one place, that's in Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, repent of sin, confess his name, buried in a watery grave of baptism, we contact that blood that washes away all sins. And only the blood can deal with our sin problem. The Lord will put us in the church, and then for us to reflect his life on a daily basis. If you're here today and maybe you're not a Christian, we encourage you to come. If you're here this afternoon, maybe your life's not what it ought to be and you just want the prayers of the church to help you shore some things up in your life, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.